I would invite you to take a Bible and turn with me to the Gospel of John chapter 12 as we read verses 44 through 50. John 12, 44 through 50. The Pew Bible is on page 937. Then Jesus cried aloud, "Whoever believes in me believes not in me, but in him who sent me. And whoever sees me sees him who sent me. I have come as light into the world, so that everyone who believes in me should not remain in the darkness. I do not judge anyone who hears my words and does not keep them, for I came not to judge the world, but to save the world. The one who rejects me and does not receive my word has a judge. On the last day, the word that I have spoken will serve as judge. For I have not spoken on my own, but the Father who sent me has himself given me a commandment about what to say and what to speak. And I know that his commandment is eternal life. What I speak, therefore, I speak just as the Father has told me." As we approach the last few days of October, and the daylight gets shorter, and after next Sunday, when you set your clocks, it will get, or seem to be, even shorter and shorter. The hours of darkness increase. We don't like the darkness, do we? We turn on lights. We keep lights on. We keep lights on the porch at night. When the power goes out, we frantically search for flashlights and candles, all kinds of things like that. And perhaps when we think about the end of October and this coming Saturday, we get even a little more fearful of the dark with All Hallows Eve, or Halloween, as it approaches. I don't know how many of you will come and to trunk-or-treat, and as it gets dark, we'll decide on your way home, rather than immediately jump in the car and leave, you'll just take a stroll over the hill here in the dark. Yeah, not too many people like walking through graveyards, especially in the dark. In fact, the only time it ever really bothered me was a number of years ago. I was out deer hunting and was heading to a stand early one morning and stumbled over something in the woods and fell upon another gravestone. We found a little cemetery that was out in the middle where all the trees had grown up. It just kind of shook me up for a moment because I didn't know where I was. But with that darkness and with Halloween, and maybe you even say this at other times, I'm reminded of that very old prayer from Ghoulies and Ghosties and Long-Leggedy Beasties and Things That Go Bump in the Night. Dear Lord, protect us. And after all, when we were children and we heard any bumps in the night, we kind of got bothered, right? Especially if it seemed to be coming from the closet. Anybody in here ever make sure that you got tucked in and stayed under the covers at night when you were a child because something might be out there in the dark or under the bed, and if you let one foot hang out, it might grab you, right? So, we don't particularly like that, and we often smile and laugh about it when we're in the light. And we sometimes smile and laugh about that little children's rhyme because that's all it is, right? There aren't really those things that go bump in the night from which we need to be protected. Or are there? And I'm not just talking about the church ghost around here. Unfortunately, there are many things that go bump in the night. Well, not just bump in the night, they go bump in the world in which we live. And not always in darkness, but sometimes coming from the darkness that permeates so much of the world. So how are we to live so that that darkness does not overwhelm us? Some people would say, well, just don't turn on the news. But even that doesn't solve the problem, does it? Just before the focal verses, Jesus has suffered in what in the Gospel of John is one of the final rejections of the Jews prior to his crucifixion. We're told in the verses just ahead that there were many who believed. In fact, if you go up to verse 42, nevertheless, many, even of the authorities, believed in him, but because of the Pharisees, they did not confess it, for fear that they would be put out of the synagogue. For they loved human glory more than the glory that comes from God. There were many people who believed Jesus' teachings, his gospel of light and darkness. And in fact, in the Gospel of John, among the most important terms that occur regularly are these terms, light and darkness. From the prologue of the Gospel of John, John 1:1-18, all the way through the end of the Gospel, this juxtaposition of light and dark, keeps popping up. And so there were many who heard those words and who believed the gospel that Jesus was bringing, that God's kingdom was present, and you could become part of that kingdom even now. But we're told they were afraid of the Pharisees. They were afraid of being excommunicated, and they prized peace with their fellow Jews more than they did this gospel, and chose to remain silent. They had begun to see that light in Jesus and from Jesus, but they chose to remain in the dark. They might even say, as Al Pacino did in a movie, "I'm in the dark here." And yet, that's where they wanted to stay. Their faith was defective in that they did not put God above love of self and the peace that they had with others. As John Marsh writes, and I quote, "While the light is shining, men can see the way. But when the light is gone, there is but darkness, and men must lose their way." End quote. And that's what Jesus addresses here. The dilemma for the believer and those believers among the authorities was real. It wasn't something made up. And their solution was all too human, to retreat into the shadows where they thought it was safe. In response, Jesus then challenges not only those present, but he challenges us to courageous discipleship in the face of the darkness within the world, or perhaps even the darkness in our own lives. Jesus cried out, we're told, which is a phrase used by the writer of the Gospel of John to introduce a pronouncement of something of special importance. Anytime the writer of the Gospel of John says that Jesus cried out, and not just at the crucifixion, it's John's way of saying, pay attention, because this is of special, life-changing importance. Jesus then cries out and says, "Whoever believes in me believes not in me, but in him who sent me." To believe in Jesus is more than merely believing in a human figure. In fact, it's more than simply believing that Jesus is Son of God. To believe in Jesus and to follow Jesus, for the writer of the Gospel of John, is the center of Christian devotion, to believe in the divine fatherhood of God. It's a call to believe with the heart and in the heart, and to see with the eyes beyond simply the person of Jesus, but to recognize that in the person of Jesus we have the presence of the Father. And that is the essence of the gospel. Faith in Jesus is demanded because through him and in him, God is seen and God can be known. In fact, for the writer of the Gospel of John, the ministry of Jesus, His very coming, His teaching, is the climax of God's self-revelation to humanity. It is the ultimate of God revealing Himself to us and what He thinks of us and what He will do for us. God is seen and known as the one who not only is present, but the one who thought out our salvation for us. This is not something that began in the minds of human beings. It's something that began in the mind of God. It is God Himself who thought out that salvation, and it is God who gives Himself in Jesus. And to Him belongs that supreme glory. One New Testament author states, and I quote, "We are sure that if there is a God, He must be Christ-like. God is not hidden, nor is God hiding in the dark somewhere out there. In Jesus, God has come as light to and for our world, so that those who believe in Him not only will not be in the dark, but they will not have to fear the dark." Jesus' counsel is that persons should walk in and believe in the light of God in Christ, in order that they may come to have the light within them, so they may discern the way to go. End of quote. God is not hidden. What John is saying here and what Jesus is saying here is, if you want to know what God is like, look at Christ. Because God must be Christ-like. And we're not intended to remain in the dark. But when we believe in Him, we're also not to fear the dark. Now, that doesn't mean sometimes we're not afraid. But that means that we do not allow fear to take hold and overwhelm us. The light which shines from Him is sent to dispel the darkness. But what kind of darkness? The light which shines in Jesus is sent to dispel the darkness of ignorance, the darkness of fear, the despair which overshadows the world. In the same way, obedience to His teaching is demanded. Obedience demanded in our own interest and in the entrance of those teachings. And Jesus says that is the crucial test at the end. Obedience to the Word. Jesus says here, I didn't come to judge you. I came to save you. I didn't come to punish you. I came to give you words of life and light. And when you stand before God, what judges you are the words which you have followed or not. The teachings which I have given. Jesus here is not claiming an exclusive faith in Himself, but He's giving a test to hearers. And a test which will bring His hearers into a living knowledge of God. And the importance of His words lies not in their judging character, but in their saving virtue. Jesus doesn't give these teachings so that we can be fearful of being judged. Rather, He gives the teachings because it is only through them that we can find saving life. In fact, at the end of the passage, He says, these words, these commandments of God are eternal life. And Jesus states that those who will walk in the light will understand that He came as a Savior. The purpose of His mission and the message of those in the light is that Jesus' words are to save, not to judge. But He goes on to say that there will be many who will remain in the darkness and not come to the light. And those who are in the dark are the ones who do not receive and practice the teachings of Jesus. It's not just enough to hear them and say, oh, well, I believe them. They sound really nice. Faith involves obedience. The message of Jesus is the uttered word of God. Accepting that message and living it brings light and life. Rejection of either the message or accepting the message but rejecting living that message leaves one in the darkness. Everything hangs upon our acceptance or rejection of what Christ said and our acceptance or rejection of the demand that is placed upon living. The authority of Christ and His words, the authority of His salvation, He says, comes from the Father who sent Him. The words He speaks, the deeds He did are living reality. They're not just some old codified nice sayings. They are a living reality which leads to life in God and life from God. In Jesus, one finds a gospel of the love of Christ and a gospel of the grace of God. And so then each of us has choices to make. Choices which will ultimately be the method of our own judgment or our own salvation. Our response to the Father's saving words spoken through the Son. Words which can deliver us from the ghoulies and ghosties and long-leggedy beasties. And things which go bump in the night. Those things which we create sometimes even in our own darkness. The darkness rejecting Jesus' teachings. The darkness that comes when we do not follow them daily, but perhaps only a few times a year, or maybe just on Sundays. So what are those ghoulies and ghosties and long-leggedy beasties and things that go bump in the night, which we need to overcome? I know some of the ones for me. But what are the ghoulies and the ghosties and the long-leggedy beasties in your life? They bring fear. They keep the darkness around. Those things which we need to overcome by the light of the gospel, not just the words spoken and accepted, but the living that is accepted as well. From ghoulies and ghosties and long-leggedy beasties and things that go bump in the night, dear Lord, protect us. But the only way that that protection is fully effective is when we step into the light of God and do not fear the dark. In these commandments, Jesus says, are eternal life. And John says in his prologue, the light which was coming into the world, the darkness has not put out. May we pray. Oh, gracious God, we so many times live in fear. And while the sun might be shining around us or the lamps are lit brightly, the darkness is still there. Sometimes outside of us and sometimes inside. Help us. Help us to come to a point where the living of these teachings is more real, so that the darkness is dispelled. And help us to share with others that that darkness can be dispelled in your light. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Our closing hymn is hymn number 396. Breathe on me. But it's not just so much about being breathed upon as being breathed into. As we stand and as we sing, may that breath, that Spirit of God in Christ, truly permeate us to live life. Number 396, breathe on me.